This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet. Well, then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Hello and welcome to the Comedians Playing Fantasy Premier League podcast with me, John Richardson.
And me, Matt Ford. The big question is, can I pull it back to 5-4 this weekend and make it the narrowest lead for John in the history of the show? In a few weeks' time, could I pull ahead?
Well, that's exciting. You've literally never been ahead since we started playing fantasy football together.
I confidently predict it will happen this season.
At some point, you will take the lead this season.
I think you can feel it. I think you can feel that this is a different contest.
Yeah, you're a lot better now. It's it's 5-3 is exciting. It pushes. You know, I like to be pushed. I like to get the best out of myself. And that's a complete lie. I hope you capitulate, and I hope I can take my foot off the gas.
Yes, plenty to talk about, John. And as well as that, today we're going to be joined by former spin doctor and podcaster in chief, Alistair Campbell. We are delighted to be joined by the former Director of Communications and Strategy at Number 10 Downing Street, Burnley fan Alistair Campbell. Alistair, welcome to the show. Do you play Fantasy Premier League?
No.
Have you ever?
No.
Why not?
I don't get it. I don't understand the sort of obsession that some people have with it. I mean, I follow football very closely, as you know. Yeah. Unlike you, I go to a lot of games. I don't just do it from radio studios and the like. The whole concept of fantasy, I think it's fine to fantasize about stuff, but can I just let you into a secret, Matt?
Yeah.
Harry Kane is not really in your team.
Right.
He's just not. He's not.
Okay.
He never will be. Harry Kane doesn't know who you are.
He might. He might listen to the show.
He might listen. He might. Okay. But most people who do fantasy football,
yeah.
Harry Kane and Gabriel Jesus and all the rest of them, they don't know who you are.
Harry Kane and Gabriel Jesus might be fans of impressions-based topical comedy.
They might be. When I said you, I was broadening out from you as the interviewer to your audience. I think both of them have got to understand that the top footballers in the world, Ashley Barnes, doesn't know who they are.
Okay.
But where does this end?
Where does it end?
Well, because isn't there an element even in the stands? You are slightly thinking, if that was me, do you know what I mean? If I had a nod,
yeah, of course you are.
I'd have tipped that in back post.
Yeah, we are. But we're part of something. So look, I'll tell you what my football fantasy, when I'm watching football,
yeah.
I think I can have an impact on the game by being there. And even more so, Matt, this applies to you particularly, by not being there. So, for example, let's just say Burnley are playing Notts Forest in the sort of cup.
As we're now,
Burnley are playing Forest,
yeah,
in the cup.
Yeah.
And let's say with 6 minutes to go, it is announced that the crowd at the City Ground was 27,493, right?
Yeah.
Let's say I hadn't gone, but I'd been planning to go. The crowd would have said 4 at the end, not 3. That, yeah, might have caused a slightly different reaction from even just one of the players who heard a different sound. You see?
You know, I agree. And I often look at the, when I'm at games, see the attendance thing. I'm one of those people and I enjoy that buzz. But I think maybe what you're saying is, I think you're coming from perhaps a more egotistical, is that you think because you're Alistair Campbell, you can somehow spin your way to victory, even though
I'm
watching.
No, I'm not thinking that, because I'm thinking that of every single member of that crowd is part of that effect on that particular player at that time. Or I'll give you another one. You know the thing where sometimes some clubs, the fans pick the man of the match. You pick the player of the match by texting. Right.
Yeah.
Let's say that one of the players wins by one vote. Right. And let's just say, when they hear it, okay, some players might think, oh, I don't care if I'm man of the match or not, but it might just give them that little buzz, that little thing for the extra 5 minutes.
I agree.
I guess you two are, but by definition, though,
sad.
Supportive supporters. And I am I would have the opposite effect. So when it's a four, I think, perhaps they heard that tut I did when they misplaced that pass. And it would have been a better atmosphere if it had been a three at the end.
You're what they call a cooler. You know those guys they put on them tables in casinos to stop people's winning streaks?
Is he an energy drainer?
Oh, man. Do you not feel more drained already, even just in the last couple of minutes?
Well, I think turning up wearing a dressing gown to do the interview was definitely a first.
These are the off-camera secrets.
Well, you know, I've got to say, though, of all the things that I've learned so far from doing this podcast, that's the one that will so far stay with me.
As a Leeds fan, as a fan of a club where the atmosphere is great, football's going well, we're mid-table in the Premier League. Talk to me about the relationship between Burnley, who had a really good run, are now fourth in the Championship, having a good season. And looking at a team like Nottingham Forest, who got up last season, but let's be honest, are getting pounded week in, week out, really suffering. Mm. Would you rather be where Burnley are now and enjoying football, or would you rather be where Forest?
Well, I've always enjoyed the Championship. I think the Championship's a fantastic division. And so, no, I wouldn't really want to be where Forest are right now.
No, with Forest.
No, I'm sure they wouldn't. But then you look at the kind of, I mean, how can I put this politely? You don't get a sense of any strategy going on there at all. They've just gone out and bought lots of different players and thrown them in together. I thought you were going to ask me about my relationship between Burnley and Leeds, because you should have gone down last year and we should have stayed up.
It's a long season and we all end up where we end up. It was a heck of an end to the season. There was a run that you went on after Sean Dyche left that I think disappointed a lot of fans and put a lot of fear into a lot of clubs. Mm. To go down on the last day, I mean, we've had it. It's horrific.
Yeah, it's not nice. It's not nice. I sort of felt we would, though. I did feel we would. But, you know, I would have loved it if you'd have gone down instead. I've always had a love-hate relationship with Leeds because I grew up in Keighley in Yorkshire, which is equidistant between Burnley and Leeds. And back then, I don't know what the situation is now, more Leeds fans probably than Burnley, but back then it was kind of 50-50. So that was always the big one for us. And I've actually, where I am in my office now, I'm looking over at a picture of Paul Fletcher scoring one of the best goals I've ever seen in my life. And it was at Elland Road when we beat Revy's dirty Leeds 4-1 at Elland Road. It was one of the greatest days of my life.
So you wouldn't have that memory without dirty
Leeds. No, listen, I like dirty Leeds for that very reason. Dirty Leeds have given so many football fans so much feeling down the years.
Does this relationship extend to the
Tories? No, I hate them more. The Dirty Tories are worse than Dirty Leeds. They really are.
But you saying that you enjoy the Championship is like saying that you enjoy Labour being in opposition, isn't it?
No, I don't.
You talk about
that.
A winning mentality. You write these books about winning where you go and talk to Floyd Mayweather and Alex Ferguson and, you know, you repeat what they say on the page and you get the money for it. You know, it's a sweet deal you've got. I'm not talking the business model down. But here you are relishing in failure.
No, not relishing in failure. I didn't want to go down. I simply said I wouldn't want to be where Forest are right now. And that I do enjoy the Championship as a kind of footballing phenomenon. I think you see great matches. It's much closer than the Premier League.
And come on, what would Tony Blair say about life in the Championship? What would his view be?
Your hero.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm reflecting what a staggering comment that was on your box from a man who literally has made our career of doing other people's words in their voices.
Yeah, thank you. That's a very good point. Yeah. Come on, Matt. I know what you're playing at, Matt. You want me to say, oh, go on, Matt, do Tony.
No, Tony,
go on.
In a way, I want you to channel him because then our listeners effectively, we're getting you and Tony Blair on the podcast in the same way. What would his view of Championship level football be, do you think?
Well, he wouldn't know much about it because he does watch football, but he doesn't go to football in the way that I do and you pretend to do. He'll follow football. He'll know who's up and who's down. He'll know what Newcastle are up to. But I don't think he'd really have a sense of what the Championship's like. But I think he'd be surprised at how passionate it is and how good the crowds are. Our crowds have actually been better this year. Quite weird. And we took, you know, we took 6,000 to Preston, was it? We took, you know, we've been getting really, really good crowds. And I think it's not just the winning thing. I think that, look, let's be honest, Matt, we've talked about this before. Burnley going 6 years on the trot in the Premier League.
Yeah.
With Sean and Ian Wone in charge, your two idols.
Legends.
We defied gravity.
Yeah.
Now, we can get back. I think we're showing that we can get back. But I think we've got to be realistic about, and I, you know, I've got, the other thing I'd say is I've found myself in recent years watching less and less what I call non-Burnley related football. Mm. I did watch the Manchester Derby the other day, but to be absolutely frank, I watched it because I was already watching Sky because I've been watching the NRL Grand Final from Australia because I love rugby league. But I very rarely now. I used to watch kind of anything on telly that was football, and I very rarely do now. And I think it's partly because I have finally slightly fallen out of love with the whole kind of money thing in the game. And, you know, so there's something earthier about the Championship maybe. And you know, I know a lot of people, by the way, who've switched to non-league football in recent years. They're finding the Premier League either too expensive, can't get tickets, whatever it might be, and they're going to non-league football.
I think that's Nottingham Forest's 7-year plan, actually, isn't it?
That's just a load of hipsters, isn't it? Going to Dulwich Hamlet with, you know, ginger blokes with beards who turn their jeans up and all that nonsense. Craft ale. You know, you don't want to get lumped in with all that.
No, I'm not saying I go. I'm saying I know people who do.
And are they ginger with beards?
The one I'm thinking of is not ginger at all. No, he's quite dark-haired, and I think he wears what you would call slacks. I don't think he wears jeans.
You really find out what sort of football fan you are, I think, in a smaller crowd, because you talked about being the difference between 26,333 and 334. When you are the difference between 11 and 12, you really find out the effect you have on the game.
I remember when I was growing up, I used to spend a lot of summers in Scotland, and I used to go and watch Scottish football, and particularly pre-season friendlies, because it was that time of year. And there was something wonderful about going to, I remember going to a game at Kilmarnock, and that when you know that the players are able to hear virtually every interaction coming from the crowd as they run around the pitch, there's something really special about it.
And have you ever been, even in a previous life, you ever hurled abuse at players?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I still do. I still do. In fact, I'll tell you a lesson I learned. When Burnley were playing at, I can't remember where we were playing, but I was, it was an away game, and Alan Stevenson was our goalkeeper, and he made a bit of a howler, and I was effing and blinding at him. And at a certain point, the woman next to me said, "Look, we've heard what you have to say, but I just want you to know that's my son you're talking about."
Oh, no.
Yeah. And I'll tell you something. I thought of her a lot when I was getting a lot of grief at the public eye, because it never used to bother me, and it never has, but it really, really used to get to my mum. And the neighbours would, my mum stopped getting any newspapers, but the neighbours would think that she really, really wanted to see that article in the Daily Mail saying that I was a war criminal, you know, and so they'd bring the papers round and show her, and my mum would get really, really upset. And I used to think about Alan Stevenson's mum. So from that moment, I stopped. I don't hurl abuse at Burnley players at all, ever.
Would you have ever? I mean, obviously, you had a very high-powered career in the media and then in politics and communication. Are you the sort of person, do you think, had life been different, would you have ever got into the hooligan thing?
No, I was probably too. I don't think I'd have got into it fully. I was very interested in it. And I did one of the pieces. I remember when I worked on the Daily Mirror, I did a thing where I kind of infiltrated the Intercity firm, the West Ham block.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and I didn't. I mean, it was quite tricky. And no, I've never felt that. You know, and even now with Burnley Blackburn and that, I don't. I might sing the songs, but I don't really hate anybody who's got anything to do with Blackburn. I don't think I could be gratuitously violent to people that I don't really know.
But I guess it's sort of, you know, young men, isn't it? They have a couple of beers. It's a sense of identity and belonging. It, you know, for some of them, they talk about it like it was just being a member of a boxing gym. You know, they didn't understand the context of it, how it would petrify shoppers. I just wondered, as a young man who was very passionate, whether it ever crossed your mind.
No, I don't like that thing where fans arrive in a town and think that they've got the right to kind of go around just abusing anybody who's in their way, who's got nothing to do with the football club. I can't stand that. But no, listen, I've been in situations where, I mean, I got, when the hooliganism was really, really bad, I got caught up in all sorts of difficult situations. I think everybody did. But I wouldn't consider myself somebody who would ever want to think that the purpose of going to a football match was to go and, you know, have a load of fights. And the other thing, I'm always mesmerised by people who go to football and don't watch it.
Yeah.
You know, yes. I can't get that at all. You pay decent money, you're invested in this club, but you're not watching it because you're looking around to see what, you know, what some Leicester fan is doing as they celebrate the fourth goal against Nottingham Forest or something like that. I don't know.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well, then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
The world isn't wide enough. Get immersed in the expansive views of the 48-inch customizable panoramic display in the all-new 2024 Lincoln Nautilus Hybrid. Explore more at Lincoln.com. Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change. Check with your local retailer for current information. Lincoln and Nautilus are trademarks of Ford or its affiliates.
A few years ago, we played at Elland Road, and I went in the away end. You know, it's on the side now, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And I couldn't believe it. I got my ticket, and do you know what it was? It was row A1.
Oh.
I was right by all those Leeds fans, and I did a. And at one point, one of them threw his mobile at me. And actually, just to show that I was the better person, I called over the steward and I said, "You see that twat in the third row there? Can you give him his phone back? I think he dropped it." But yeah, they were chucking all sorts of stuff at me.
Because you've been friends with some Burnley managers, haven't you? I remember you've been mates with Stan Turner and obviously a big mates with Daichi. Have you managed to become friends with Vincent Kompany?
No, I don't know him. I'm doing an event with him in the reasonably near future. I've met him once when he was at City, but no, yeah. I don't know him that well. Yeah, it's been, you know, Stan's still a very good friend, and Daichi I speak to still. So, yeah, I feel privileged in that. And I also, a lot of the old players have become friends. I mean, I wrote a novel with Paul Fletcher about football. And Paul was a player when I was a teenager. And then he came back as the club's chief executive. And that's when we became very, very friendly. So I do feel very privileged of the sort of, you know, and some of the current players, Ashley Barnes, Ashley Westwood, Jack Cork. I mean, the people that I talk to, you know, so it's a nice position to be in.
And if you could go on holiday with a footballer, who would it be?
Any footballer?
Any.
Oh, hell, that's hard. I think, any footballer.
Sean Dyche chose Kieran Trippier because he would often book a close-up magician.
I think it'd have to be, I'll tell you what, if I wanted to go away on holiday and be intellectually stimulated and feel that I was kind of on edge a bit the whole time, I'd go with Joey Barton.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is he clever?
I think he's clever, yeah. I think he's got a very interesting mind. Okay. And I think he's quite clever, yeah. And he does think about stuff. And I know people take the mickey out of him. You know, he's got a philosopher coach and he reads Nietzsche and all this sort of stuff. But I do think he's clever. I'll tell you somebody else who I think would be, I think similar style. I think, I mean, if you can get a word in, Gary Neville would be interesting on holiday. I think Jamie Carragher would be good for on holiday.
I think Gary Neville would probably, if he had to pick someone from politics to go on holiday, he'd probably pick you. I think we could sort that out. I think he's making moves in that direction, isn't he?
Yeah, well, I think it'd be great if he did. I think he'd be good in politics. I think he'd struggle with some of the nonsense that goes on in it. But you know, my God, we're talking off before we started recording about this TV program doing Make Me Prime Minister. My God, do we need some new blood in our politics?
Is that why you did the show? Because I was going to ask about sort of that tingle you get around footballers that never leaves you. And when you said about being on the front row, all I thought is, you might catch the ball, even touching the ball that's been on the pitch. why is that? Not in politics anymore, that sense of electricity around, this person is smart and charismatic.
I think it can be there. And I think, if there are some politicians in the world stage in particular that I think can still inspire that. But I think we've just seen a fairly steady decline in the quality of people that want to go into politics. And I think that's something to do. A lot of it's to do with the way the media covers politics. I think it's what the public constantly talk about, politics being terrible and all politicians are the same and all this other nonsense that gets said. So I think the gene pool for politics is getting narrower and narrower. But, you know, you mentioned the Winner's Book. When I wrote that, it was partly trying to sort of see whether there's anything that politics could learn from business and sport. And if you think how many extraordinary people we see in sport,
yeah,
I mean, you know, hundreds. We see hundreds of people in different sports in different parts of the world. And yet for politics, you know, you can count them on the fingers of one hand.
Yeah, but sport's more of a meritocracy, isn't it? Whereas politics is clans.
I mean, I honestly do. I look at what's going on now and I think, what has happened that we had Boris Johnson and now we've got Liz Truss? I can't look at two people and think that I could find millions of people better suited to being prime minister than that. But the trouble is they're not in politics.
But Keir Starmer's on the brink of doing it. He's 33 points ahead of the Tories. So the public are moving towards someone who, I presume, in your opinion, is far more suitable to be prime minister.
Yeah, I think he'd be way better than what we've got or what we've had in recent years. But at the same time, I think that, you know, Keir's strengths, which are not to be underestimated, you know, being a good bloke, decent values, hardworking, etc. But I think still one of the things that people keep saying about him is, oh, you know, does he inspire me? Has he got oomph? Has he got this? Has he got that? I mean, look, I think he'd be so much better than what we've got. But I think where John was coming from in the terms of the question was, you know, where are the Mandelas? Where are the Kennedys? Where are the, you know, the people that get their kind of hair? Well, the people that get the hair standing up on your neck, you know, there are very, very few, and it's sad because you need good people in politics to inspire other people to want to go into politics.
To bring it back to fantasy football, everyone's got Erling Haaland in their team at the moment. But if you were picking like a politician's 11, because one of the things I think is interesting about fantasy football, you do have to pick from out. So you can't just pick 11 Forest or 11 Leeds players. You do have to learn a sort of begrudging respect for what players do for other teams. Is there anyone, if you were picking a politics 11, that you would say, do you know what, this person actually is gonna score me points every week. They're gonna land a punch of PMQs. They're really good in their constituency.
Do you mean from the other parties?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, outside of
Birmingham. I mean, look, I look at I think some of the SNP politicians are very strong. There are some Tory politicians that I'm quite friendly with. I do like the way that guy Tobias Elwood, who I think ought to be a minister, and if trust that in any sense would make him a minister, but I like the way he keeps sort of, you know, going down the track that he believes in. Johnny Mercer, who's fought really hard for veterans. But listen, Johnson got rid of a lot of the good ones. I mean, the idea that Ken Clark is not a Tory and shouldn't be a Tory MP, Anna Soubry, Dominic Grieve, I mean, these are all good people. I don't agree with the kind of basic political outlook, but you know, they're good people.
You named a lot of Remainers there. Who is the best Brexiteer?
The one who's honest enough to admit that it's not going very well, and there aren't many of them. So I don't know any of them.
You're obviously a marathon runner. I imagine you've played in football games. I've seen you play in celebrity games. Have you ever played football against Keir Starmer or with him?
No, but I hear he's not bad.
Yeah, he plays five a side.
Yeah, I've never. I mean, I'm just not fit enough for five a side. Well, I'm fit, but listen, my football skills were never great, but the last time I played, I was truly awful. I'm just dirty, Matt. I'm just a dirty player. I really do model myself on. I'm a cross between Norman Hunter and Billy Bremner.
I was going to say, I think you might be a Leeds fan. You
no,
know?
I'm really not a Leeds fan, but I and there's something about football that I actually. I'm not proud of this, but I got in the last two weddings I've been at, there have been football matches and I've not behaved. I've really not behaved well at all.
What do you mean you've not behaved?
I did a bad foul.
Would you like to apologise for that bridesmaid now? Or
it was a bloke. It was a bloke. And the wedding was the last wedding but one was of a Forest fan, Greg Nugent.
Oh, yes.
And the guy that I've tackled... well, I didn't tackle him so much as hit him because he tackled me from behind. And I remember my daughter was on the touchline, Grace, you just screaming, Dad, you're embarrassing. Stop it. But yeah. And then I get involved in skirmishes at football when I'm playing, but not when I'm watching.
I guess you're a target, though, aren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, yeah. No, the guy did. It was a really... I mean, I kind of felt my Achilles going, and I thought, I'm not having that.
Scumbag.
Wallop.
Yeah, it wasn't a big wallop. It was just a sort of, you know... Well, I'm always very conscious. I don't want to get a red card. So it was like, you know, it was yellow, borderline red, and I got away with it.
We've got a few running themes on this, Charlotte. So I just want to pick your brains about them. We're going to have an end of season forfeit for whoever finishes below the other one in the league. Some people have suggested we slap the loser gets slapped around the face with a dead fish. Daichi suggested we do a thing where we run around a broom handle and then try and take a penalty on the park. Are there any forfeits that come to mind? And feel free to be as sadistic or as brutal as you wish.
I think if Leeds finish ahead of Forest, you, Matt Ford,
yeah,
should have to go to Leeds' opening game next season wearing a Forest strip and dirty Leeds banner.
But if I would get beat up.
If Forest finish ahead of Leeds, I think John should go to a Forest game,
yeah,
wearing only a Leeds United dressing gown.
I mean, if Forest finish above Leeds, let's be honest, that game will be in the Championship.
you were also famed when you were Director of Communications at number 10, or the Prime Minister's official spokesman, for dealing with the lobby and some of the insults that perhaps were thrown your way, and some of these insults that you may have aimed at others. Were you ever called, or have you ever called anyone else, a shit eater?
No.
Why not?
No, I don't think... Have you been called that?
Yeah, I mean, we've uncovered by pure chance that this is a whole subculture going on in this country at the moment. A lot of people are getting called a shit eater. It's kind of like a phenomenon that we've unearthed.
Oh, but Matt, you now know that because you've discussed this with me, I'm going to get loads of people saying that on social media, aren't I? You just know that. That's why you've done it.
Oh, that's a really good... What's your Twitter handle again? At Campbell Claret.
That's the one.
There we go. Alistair, this has been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for coming on.
I hope it's educated you a little bit.
It has. Do you think Forest are going to be safe this season, by the way?
No.
Oh. Do you want us to be?
I like Forest. I've told you that before. I really like Forest. I like going to Forest. So, you know, it's one of my favourite grounds. It's still got that old feel. Yes. As you also know, I love Brian Clough stories.
Yes.
You gave me that when I came to do your podcast show. You gave me that book by the Forest fan.
Isn't it great?
Oh, it's one of the best books. I've given that book to so many people.
It's brilliant.
I like Forest, and yeah, I've always liked Forest. Always had a soft spot for Forest.
So what you're saying is you'd like to go to a game together. Maybe we could have a nice meal, walk over to the bridge, sunlight. Just
I'm not sure
a nice
about
evening
the meal.
Together, two friends.
No, I'm not sure about the meal. I mean, I just think that. That whole thing about eating and football, I don't know. What's that about, Matt?
Well, not a meal then. We can just walk over Trent Bridge by moonlight.
What is this some kind of homoerotic thing going on here that
we began talking about fantasy and you said you didn't do fantasy football. I just wondered maybe this was more in your wheelhouse.
No, I was thinking what I could do, we could get the train from St Pancras, we could go up to Nottingham, I could go in the away end. You could go in with your prawn sandwich people, and then we could enjoy the game.
Yeah, we could hurl abuse at each other. We could like do throat slitting gestures.
Who are you? Who are you? You shit eater, hey? You shit eater. You shit eater.
Alistair, thank you very much.
All right, guys.
Thanks so much.
John. Are you sitting down?
Yes.
Excellent. I've got some very exciting news.
You've ordered me a new chair.
No, better. We've been approached to make our very own CPFPL beer to accompany the podcast with Leeds' very own Kirkstall Brewery. I think we should open it up to the listeners to suggest. Get in touch. What should the comedians playing FPL beer taste like? Email us at hello@cpfpl.com with some suggestions. And for a bit of inspiration... Kirkstall are known for their delicious cask beers like Three Swords and Dissolution, as well as modern hoppy beers like Virtuous and Judicious. So what should it be like? Should it be dark and bitter like John's soul? Or should it be light and positive, sparkling and popular like one of my mates. As well as brewing great beer, they also own some of the best pubs in West Yorkshire, like the Kirkstall Bridge Inn and the Cardigan Arms in Leeds, the Sparrow Beer Cafe in Bradford, and their own tap room at the brewery on Kirkstall Road. I'm going to do a pub crawl around all of them. Listeners can get 20% off everything on Kirkstall's online shop with the code CPFPL20, and look out for a very special collaboration beer from us and Kirkstall very soon. Just visit the website kirkstallbrewery.com and click on shop.
Very quickly, you making any changes this week? You've had an exceptional run, 3 weeks in a row. What are you thinking going
let
into the next game?
Hang on, let me have a look. Are you going to?
I'm going to have to, yeah. I can't. I'm at risk of certainly a minus four, I think, because I cannot have dead wood in my squad. So I can't have people who aren't starting. And if Scamacca scored, I would say that Antonio's unlikely to start again at the weekend. So, yeah, action will be taken.
Yeah, I think having, sadly, having a Forest defender is probably not, although it, at some point, surely it's got to turn.
So I'm, yes, I'm I remember still you saying the same about Harry Kane.
What?
I remember you saying the same about Harry Kane. It's got to happen. It's got to come good. Villa at home. They didn't score against Leeds.
I just think having a Forest defender, given how many we're now conceding, is tricky. So maybe I swap. The problem is my midfield is such a... Maybe I keep a defender, actually. Or maybe I just have all my Forest players on the bench. But that's there's no fun in that, is there?
No. You got to back Lingard at home to Villa.
Have I?
And Johnson. Johnson's a fine player.
I think I keep Johnson. I think I'm looking at offloading. In the medium term, if things don't improve for Forest, not having a Forest defender. Although Nico Williams, I'm just convinced he's good for an assist. So I'm going to keep Nico Williams. I think I'm going to try and offload Lingard and maybe bring in Gibbs White or something like that. It's really difficult because I'm ultra competitive. How many Leeds players have you got, by the way?
Three.
Yeah.
Ilan Melier, Luke Ayling, Jack Harrison.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you also need to... I think I need to get rid of Zinchenko and I'm minded to bring in Tierney instead.
Oh, it's a dear week.
Well, I can't deal with that all this week.
Or do you just get it all done and accept a defeat, but go into the next few game weeks knowing that you've taken your hit?
I'd rather store up a couple of transfers so that I could do a couple of transfers in a week rather than take a point.
Yeah, it's lovely that. I'm not going to be
nice
able
feeling,
to do
isn't
that.
It? And I also think with Haaland, Jesus, Madison, Almiron, Trippier, De Bruyne.
It's a good team.
It is. 109 points, the highest scorer in the entire league this week. I think that's the first time that's ever happened to me. You were the second highest. Oh, no. Tom Davis was second highest with 107. So there.
Suck on that. And that's all we've got time for this week.
Remember, we've also launched a subscription service on anotherslice.com where you get extra bonus, exclusive episodes of the podcast not available on the usual feed, extra unheard content for no one's ears but yours, and you get regular episodes early and loads of other extras as well. You still get this regular podcast for free, so if you don't sign up, you'll still always get this, but there's a load of extra goodies. And week by week, like an Aladdin's cave of CPFPL gold gets added to, like lost treasure. Go to anotherslice.com/CPFPL for details. We've got two exclusive episodes out on the platform already, with loads more exclusive podcasts being added every month. And here's a snippet from the latest episode.
Do you remember when we went bowling? Because this is one of the most unbelievable things that's ever happened to me.
What? No, I don't remember.
We went bowling in Kingston.
Bowling. We went bowling.
I outplayed you. I beat you that night. You gutted a ball so hard and so early that ball wobbled. It literally went into the gutter halfway down.
Right.
You threw it with such force, it wobbled in the gutter and on its way past, knocked over the back right-hand pin. And you won that game by one pin. And I have never forgotten that. It's a sign of the injustice that befalls people like me.
How have I forgotten that? I didn't never know there was a bowling alley in Kingston. Where is it?
You were unbearable when it happened and for some weeks after. So I'm glad you have forgotten. It's one of the most unfair things I've ever seen. I wish it's if I'd been filming that would have been a viral clip.
The rules are clear. It was within the rules.
It wasn't within the rules. You gutted the ball.
You prat. You sour little sod. You can't even let me have that.
No, I can't let you have that. It's cheating.
We've got to go back. We've got to go back, and we've got to film it for another slice, listeners. We're going to.
Right.
I'm going to
try. There you go. That's a promise.
So look forward to that. Tantalized. You should be. Go to anotherslice.com/cpfpl.com to improve your life forever. Remember to send us new format and strand ideas and tweet us at ComediansFPL. Email us hello@cpfpl.com if you've been affected by anything in today's show. And find us on Instagram, ComediansPlayingFPL, Facebook at ComediansFPL. And please leave a 5-star written review so that the rest of the world can share in this wonderful community. And I'm just going to say thank you now. So to those of you that have done it, thank you so much. And to you now. Picking up that phone, about to do it. Go on, do it. Yes, I'm talking to you. Do it. Why didn't you do it? Bye.
Bye.